Monday Night Rugby on Off the Ball
with Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us, everyone in.
You're welcome along to Monday's Off the Ball, a slightly different show for you this evening. We are going to be live from the National Concert Hall from 7:30, a football special with thanks to Virgin Media Sport. We're going to have Graeme Souness, Niall Quinn, Kevin Kilbane and Brian Kerr will be alongside Joe from 7:30 through till 9 o'clock, chatting about the Champions League and a whole lot more besides. Richie will be along a little bit later as well with a shortened news round, keep you up to date with all the live sport that's happening, in particular that FA Cup clash between Chelsea and Manchester United. But we are going to start with an earlier than usual Monday Night Rugby. Rory O'Connor, the Irish Independent's rugby correspondent, in studio as always. How are you?
Good, Nathan. How are you?
I'm all right. So this was a bit of a dead weekend in many ways, an off weekend from the Six Nations, but a good weekend for the Irish provinces. All four of them won. Starting on Friday night, Ulster, a really tough win away at Ospreys by 8-0. Munster thrashed Southern Kings 43-0. That win for Ulster was a great result for Connacht, and they took full advantage then by beating Cheetahs 25-17 on Saturday, while Leinster had a tough enough task in the end away against Zebre in Italy. They made hard work of it, but eventually won by 40-24. The weekend's results mean that Connacht have moved into the all-important top three in Conference A. They're now 4 points clear of both Ospreys and Cardiff Blues. Munster top Conference A, while in Conference B, Leinster still the runaway leaders. Ulster back within 2 points of Edinburgh and Treviso. Ulster still in fourth place. Any main takeaways from the weekend, Rory?
Yeah, it was one for the purists. It's the kind of weekend in the middle of February where, you know, the casual fan can switch off rugby. Super Rugby started up, so some people, you know, will get very excited about that. And although it's a very unglamorous weekend for the provinces, it turned out to be a pretty important one. I think the Connacht game was probably the best of the lot. The Cheetahs came out, like the South Africans have been such a mixed bag this year. They've been quite disappointing, but the Cheetahs look like they've finally kind of rediscovered a bit of the form that they had last season. And for the first half, they played some really, really good rugby and kind of quietened down the sports ground a little bit. And Connacht found themselves in a proper game with their international contingent pretty much back as well, apart from Quinn Roo. It was a proper game. Like some of them, you know, Leinster kind of fell asleep in Zebre and then woke up again to win the game. Munster weren't tested at all. Ulster went back in time in Bridgend. So that Connacht game, I think, is the one you can read most into, and it probably had the most significance as well. And they got themselves out of it very impressively. A kind of a tight game. They tend to pick up a lot of losing bonus points over the course of a season. So for them to come out the right side of a tight game like that in difficult conditions was something that they'll take a lot of solace from.
And Andy Friend has spoken previously about the importance of this run of fixtures that happened during the Six Nations. I think there's three of them in all, because they will generally have an almost full strength side available to them, whereas a lot of the other teams are going to be missing players. And it was a perfect weekend because of what happened with the Ospreys, the Cardiff Blues, the Welsh sides, who were missing almost all their first choice players, have now sort of dropped out of the picture.
Yeah, so there's no Welsh teams in the playoff picture at the moment. There's two Scots and three Irish. And Ulster aren't there either. Two Scots, two Irish, and the Italians are in there as well, so with Treviso. So, Connacht's have a difficult run of form, of fixtures. So it's just as well that they probably will have most of their internationals available.
Yeah, they've Glasgow away, then they've Ospreys at home.
Yeah.
The two sides, either side of them.
And Leinster have a pretty handy one, the team that's 24 or whatever points clear at the top, you know, their players want international, want big games that they can, you know, prove themselves internationally, and they're playing against the Kings on Friday night, which is a bit of a disaster for them. So it's going to fly under the radar this weekend with Six Nations and everything going around it, but this, when it comes to the crunch at the end of the season, when Connacht are fighting for that European spot, this is the time where their season will have been won and lost, and that's a really, really good start for them last weekend. And it just, they look like a really good team. Like they look like such a different outfit than they were last season. Tom Farrell's a joy to watch. Carty is reborn. It just shows the positivity the Friend has brought, has rubbed off on the players, and they're just, they're flying it. And, you know, Colby Fainga, a guy who kind of came in under the radar a little bit, has proved to be a really canny signing. Him and Butler in the back row, you know, they can't be called up for Ireland. So, you know, they're just really consistent performers in that back row. So it's impressive, and, you know, it's going the right way for them. You'd imagine there'd be a Welsh fight back. I mean, Cardiff Blues almost always finish strong. You know, the Welsh, you'd imagine one of their teams is going to get the way into the picture. But right now, it's just, you know, for a team that are going for a Grand Slam at the national level, it's quite a drop off to the provinces or the regions.
Our rugby coverage brought to you by Vodafone, team of us, everyone in. So there's an importance to the Pro 14 results, but there's also a strong Irish angle because so many players went back to their provinces and are trying to force their way into the 23 and keep themselves in and around the squad for the final three games. So maybe go through some of the players who did go back and who did have a chance to impress, starting with Connacht. You mentioned Jack Carty there, who seems to have forced his way in at number three in terms of number 10s. And I guess there's a pressure in that in itself now, that he needs to perform every time he goes out to keep off Rossburn. Did he do enough from the bits you saw from Connacht this weekend?
It's hard. Like, I go back to Joe Smith's first season. I remember there was like someone, like Tommy Bowe, was coming back from injury. And Schmidt went on record as saying, these Pro 14 games during the Six Nations are just not good enough to prove yourself, you know, they're not strong enough. So if you're trying to prove your fitness, these are not of the level that you need to jump straight into test match rugby. So it's hard to gauge form from them. And I thought Byrne was quite good against the Southern Kings. A couple of really nice touches, you know, controlled the game really well. But I think Carty, if he's ahead at the start of the Six Nations,
he'll remain ahead. There was nothing that Byrne was going to be able to do.
Especially against Zebre. You know, like, I think, you know, if it's a top of the table clash against Scarlett, you know, in different years, it might have been. So I think Carty did himself no harm. It just depends. I think Carty's main problem this weekend, I think if Joe Schmidt was doing an overall master plan at the start of the season and he wanted to give a third choice 10 a bit of Six Nations exposure, this would have been the weekend where he did it. But then Johnny Sexton's only played 100 minutes since December 29th. So just, you know, I think the idea of Johnny not going to Rome seems to me to be far-fetched, because they need him firing for France and Wales. And I think there's a few of those where Schmidt might have wanted to experiment, and now the scenario that he's found himself in has limited that a little bit. So I think Carty's getting the exposure at training. He's there, but I'm just not sure he's going to be able to force his way into the picture on Sunday. So, but he's playing well, and that's all he can do.
Darrow O'Toole is watching on YouTube. He says, Carty was absolutely immense. Some of his territory kicking was spot on. And I guess part of this as well is staying fit and make sure nothing out of the ordinary happens. And unfortunately, in the Ulster game, there was positive news initially where Ian Henderson was back, and particularly with the problems in the second row at the moment, he could have been thrust straight back in. But the news this evening is that he's been cited out of that game.
Yeah, there's a hearing tomorrow on Tuesday. And 15th minute incident at a ruck where he appears to drag an Ospreys player, their open side to the ground, neck first, and land on his head, which just paints a pretty, you know, not to prejudge the case, but it doesn't look like doesn't look great for him. So he's come straight into the selection picture, and he might be going straight out again, depending.
And that
on how
would
it
rule
goes.
Him out of the Italy game.
Well, if he gets a ban, he will be ruled out of all competitions. So Ty Byrne is back in, so that's a positive. He didn't play at the weekend, but I think Billy Holland's been left at Munster for the week, so that suggests that the two Connacht players, Quinn Rue and Ulton Delan, remain in along with James Ryan and Byrne. So they might want to give Ryan a rest. But that is a, you know, Henderson would have come into the picture, and, you know, he's been almost a consistent selection in 23 for Schmidt. Yeah. So that's a disappointment. Kieran Marmion came back, you know, got through 25-30 minutes against in that game, and it was a tight game, so that will stand to him. I would imagine he'll come in for Caelan Blade. So Ireland are back in tonight, and they'll announce their squad tomorrow. So we're kind of get a little bit of second guessing and reading the tea leaves from today. The provinces were out today.
And with Marmion, I guess we're probably second guessing as well how much Schmidt reads into a little cameo from John Cooney, because we've spoken about it consistently that he has a trust in Marmion because he's delivered on the biggest days in a variety of different roles.
Yeah.
But he suddenly missed a couple of matches in Cooney's form. You wonder, when it comes down to these final two games, does it keep Cooney in the picture?
I think Cooney remains in the squad. I think Caelan Blade will be the one who would drop out if Marmion comes back in. I would have liked to see more than 3 minutes a game from John Cooney, particularly in the England game when things were getting away from Ireland and Conor Murray just wasn't playing well. But I think Schmidt has taken the decision that Conor Murray needs to play his way into form and needs 77, you know, he needs those minutes because he is quite far off where they know he can get to. So Cooney's been a bit of a victim of that, and then it's whether Marmion jumps straight back in ahead of Cooney. I would expect Murray to play again this week because I think they need Murray to play so that when they get to the World Cup warm-ups even, that he's kind of played his way back into form. There's a bit of a need there. So it depends. Yeah, Marmion's got a lot of credit in the bank, but then Marmion started against the All Blacks. He started against England. They need Cooney to get some experience if he's going to be number three. Luke McGrath would probably be Schmidt's number three, I think, in his own head. But I think Cooney delivered a brilliant kick to just secure that win against the Ospreys on Friday night. I really like him as a player. You know, he's got such confidence. I'd love to see him get a more sizable run in Rome. But Marmion could come straight back in and leapfrog him. It depends on what's been going on in training.
Dan Levy, Reese Ruddock, both out of this weekend's game. There was, I think, a good bit of speculation that maybe Ruddock may have forced his way in for a start. He's always been, again, very much a Schmidt guy. But yeah, that's a bad blow for him at a crucial time.
Yeah, like, oh man, he's played a lot of rugby. It depends, you know. Again, like, does Rory Best get a rest this weekend? And then, you know, Mahoney could captain the side. There's all these permutations at play. It's
and
a really
it
difficult
a,
section.
It's a funny situation because I think at the outset of the Six Nations, people sort of looked at this Italy game as a real opportunity to experiment. But even then, when you looked at the way the calendar set up, it almost looked like then there was too much of a gap. So we have a 2 week break, Italy, and a 2 week break again. Do you want players having a full month off without any competitive action?
Particularly players like Rob Kearney, Johnny Sexton, Conor Murray, who are undercooked as it is. So that creates a real issue. Like, I mean, it's the obvious game for Henshaw to come back in a fullback. Now, Chris Farrell picked up a knock. He's back in squad. But, you know, whether that he can run that
France
off.
France such a mess now that actually you can look at that French game as a game where you can take
I actually
take
don't
a lot
know if it's about France. I think it's about the fact that Ireland are probably out of running for the title. And it's a six-day turnaround between that and Cardiff. And that's a perfect trial run for a World Cup week. So I think France is a perfect opportunity to do some rotation because you want to be fresh for the last game in Cardiff. You probably will beat France at home, not regardless. Like, I mean, we can't forget the fact that France almost beat Ireland in last year's Six Nations. We're the closest team to do it apart from Australia, who actually went and did it. But I do think that he is looking at those two games as a prime opportunity to use his squad so that when it comes to the World Cup, when he's got 6 days, I think, between Japan and Scotland in those first two games, he will have to rotate somewhat. So he'll have to get a fresh second row, a fresh prop. So I do think that regardless of the fact that France are in turmoil, the fact that he's not going for a Grand Slam, I think he will use that to rotate. So I think you're right. I think Italy's a difficult week to make changes. I think he's more likely to do against France. But again, you're second-guessing selections at the very early part of the week, not knowing what Gary Ringrose's condition is, not knowing what Chris Farrell's condition is. And there's a few, Will Addison's another one who has a bit of a cloud over him. I think that there's an injury there that we don't know about. So there are loads of permutations at stake. And I think as the week goes on, it'll become a bit clearer where he's going to go with it. Ireland going to beat Italy. They've beaten Italy.
I was just about to ask that. Are we, I don't want to say losing the run of ourselves here, but Italy showed in the closing stages of their opening game that there was a bit of fight there. I know Wales made huge changes, but again, they managed to keep it pretty tight for long periods. You think that this is going to be a fairly straightforward win, no matter who takes to the pitch?
Schmidt's played them seven times. The average margin is 35 points.
Right.
The one close game was at the World Cup of 2015, which is, you know, increasingly a long time ago now. There was one where Ian Keatley started and they struggled, you know, at the beginning again for the first hour to break them down. They still won it well. They scored 9 tries against them in Chicago. I mean, he's figured out a way of beating Italy very, very well. The last couple of years, it's been really comfortable. I don't know if it'll be a runaway win, but I just don't see any way that Italy can beat this Ireland team. He could make 6 or 7 changes, and I still think that the team has the quality. They're almost in containment mode against Wales. You know, they're trying not to lose by big scores now. It's gotten that bad with them in the Six Nations. I mean, it's been so long since they won a game. Sure, it's at home, but I think the France game is a far more realistic chance for them to get a win. I don't think it's unfair to get ahead of ourselves in this game. I think Ireland, their body of work over the last couple of years, particularly against this Italian team, suggests that it'll be a reasonably comfortable win, and I think he's going to probably pick a strong enough team to get some form into the legs.
If you're watching across our social channels tonight or across the week, be sure to get your comments and questions in below. You could be our Heineken Star Comment of the Week, which we will announce on Friday. Text in from Fergal and Carlo, the Pro 14 is not a good base to judge a player for Six Nations fitness capability. ? It's absolutely essential. The Pro 14 is better standard than the Premiership. It's essential for Joe to see players get time in the Pro 14 ahead of selection.
The Pro 14, I would not agree with the idea that the Pro 14 is a better standard in the Premiership. I think when everyone's fit and available and all the internationals are playing...
The results in Europe not suggest otherwise?
When everyone's fit and available and released by their international teams from Glasgow, and it's great, but when that only happens about 5 times a season. Yeah, the best players, the best teams are as good, but they never play. So I think these games between shadow sides are not adequate preparation against, for the step up that comes. Maybe not against Italy, but for the weekend. Unfortunately, the Pro 14, because players aren't released, doesn't do itself any favours. But it's owned and run by the unions. It's their choice, and it suits.
Yeah, and there's plenty of benefits to it as well. There's no question about that. Yeah. So we'll probably find out a little bit more tomorrow about what sort of Joe Schmidt's thinking about this week and the next three games is. I guess also when if he's looking at Joey Carberry at number 10, or he's thinking about John Cooney or Kieran Marmion at scrum half, he's probably also thinking, what can I read into Joey Carberry putting in a man of the match performance in Rome? Whereas if he can deliver against France, as much of disarray they're in, he can take a lot more from that. He's not going to learn a lot about too many players next Sunday.
I'm not sure how much it's about him learning about them. I think it's just investing the time so that Joey, even the fact that it's an away game in the Stadio Olimpico and the Six Nations, and it's going through the process of getting your mind right for that, going to the stadium, all those experiences that he hasn't done before. Mm. He hasn't started a Six Nations game, to my knowledge. So I think that's where the investment will be. I don't think Joe Schmidt is going to make any massive selection calls based on this game. Although, there are moments within these games that always stand the players. Like he consistently went back to Keith Earls tracking down, I think it was Benvenuti, when the game was well gone last year. There are those moments. He watches everything, and will nothing goes past him, but. Yeah, I think it's more about the experience. It's about, Andrew Porter was training with Leinster today. That suggests John Ryan might be involved. That's just getting him another international under his belt. Those little things that he might do, I don't think he'll draw any major conclusions from it, but he will value the experience that they'll have away from home, a relatively partisan crowd, as it can be on a Sunday, in Rome. So, I think there's value in it, but it's not going to be... He's not going to drop Johnny Sexton for Joey Carberry, even if Joey goes out and scores four or five tries.
Yeah.
I mean, that might be the worst thing he could do, because Craig Gilroy scored three in Rome 2 years ago and hasn't been seen since.
Exactly. Rob Kearney does an interesting interview. I think you were one of the people to sit down with him.
Yeah, he was up on Friday after the open session. He sat down with the daily newspapers.
He was pretty honest about, firstly, I think, his own mental state ahead of the England game and being dropped. But also, actually, rare honesty from a player watching a game going, you know what, not the worst thing for me that everything didn't go brilliantly for Robbie Henshaw, fullback.
Yeah, I never got the boring Kearney thing. I've always found Rob Kearney to be one of the best interviewees on the Irish team. He's always got something to say, and he was hurt by being left out of the England game, and he's not afraid to say that. And he watched the game through the prism of, I want the team to win, but it would not be in my interest for Robbie Henshaw to be man of the match, because he knew that if Henshaw was man of the match, he keeps and doesn't get injured, he keeps the jersey. And he has always been pretty open about the fact that he's well aware of the criticism that surrounds him and the social media storm that greets almost, I think it's gone away a little bit now, but they used to be, a year or two ago, every time he was picked, it was an outcry and he'd usually get tagged and have to tweet. And he's always, he's been pretty open for that. He never lies about the fact that he doesn't read the media. He's always been kind of aware of the coverage that he gets. And I was really impressed by the way he spoke about it. I thought, we all know that, like, anyone who's ever played team sports and has been dropped doesn't want
nobody
to
ever
says jersey.
It.
They rarely say it. I certainly don't say it when they're still playing. Maybe it's a sign that he knows he's coming towards the end of his international career. He's pretty open also about the fact that he's assessing his options right now.
But he's
now
out of contract after the World Cup. Similar situation to Sean O'Brien.
Yeah. And he's achieved so much with Ireland and with Leinster. Now he's got business interests here. I think he's the president of the Rugby Players Ireland as well, or he's certainly one of the top guys in there. Maybe the chairman, I'm not sure the title. He's got reasons to stay in Dublin, but also, he's earned the right to go and live in the south of France or wherever someone's offering him contract.
Get
if he wants to see something else. Why not? He's done his state some service as it were, and then he could head off if he wanted, or else he could go and play for Leinster for another year or two. I think his international career, you would imagine, if Andy Farrell wants to start afresh, a bit like Sean O'Brien, it probably is time to kind of invest in someone like Jordan Larmour.
Yeah, and Leinster have the options there as well.
But at the same time, if he continued, he's still putting in the performances. We saw that at Murrayfield; he was very, very good. So, it was nice to hear him say what he said, because we all know that's the way he's thinking. It's so rare that we get the bit of honesty from them. It was great.
Yeah, well worth reading. It's in the Irish Independent this afternoon. Rory, great stuff as always. We'll get a bit more info tomorrow when the Irish squad link up and as the week goes on as to what Joe Schmidt's thinking is for that game against Italy. Quick break, and then we're going live to the National Concert Hall to link up with Joe and some footballing greats.
Monday Night Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us, everyone in.